Good morning, teacher, or I should say top of the morning to you. Hey, we have a reply. The rest of the day to me. Thank you, Tom. Hey, it is good to be in God's house this morning, and I am just so impressed by, not like, wow, but like impressed by God, like, hold it, like how he's woven this service together so far to this point. And like a lot of the songs that we just sang and the video we just watched through offering time, everything is coming together. And I believe that this message that's all coming together and everything's working together, we don't sit down for 4 hours and plan all this stuff to make sure everything lines up, just so you know. But I just believe that God has a great plan for us this morning. He has a great message for us, and that is the gospel. It's the good news. And this morning, we are beginning this brand new series called All to Jesus. And because the good news of the gospel demands our everything. Jesus wants our everything. He wants all of us to be all for him. All of our time, all of our treasures, all of our talents. He wants all of our possessions. He wants all of our positions and all of our pleasures. He wants everything about us, everything that we've ever hoped and dreamed for. He wants that to be lived for his greatest glory possible in all the earth. And I do need to confess this morning that I feel a little, in some ways I'm super inspired because I just came through a couple days. Well, so on Wednesday night we hosted this missionary that's been translating the scriptures in Papua New Guinea at the base of Ukurampa, where Wycliffe has a huge ministry going on. She's been in there for 7 years, and she's on furlough, and so we could host her. And so I was inspired just seeing a servant of God and connecting with her. And then the next 2 days, I went to this leadership conference simulcast site in Johnstown with some other people from here, just sharpening our leadership. And so I'm inspired by that. And so I'm a little ADD sometimes. So if I get a little bit over here and go over there a little bit and get distracted, that's probably what's going on. But we have a great message this morning, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. It is God doing the unthinkable and intersecting our brokenness, loving us and making a way for us to be made right with him. And then he out of that great love that he poured out onto us, he's asking us, he's saying, I want all of you. If you remember in the scriptures, there was the rich young ruler that he was a very religious guy. He was doing all the right things according to the law, but then he came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to get into the kingdom? And Jesus said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And it says that he went away. I think the text says that he was his head was low because he couldn't pay the price that Jesus demanded of him. And in all through scripture, we see that Jesus kind of can see into the heart of man, and he sees where is that one thing that he or she is holding back, and then he requires that also from his followers. And so the question I'm asking you to start off this morning, what are you holding back? Is there something that you're holding back? Have you given your life? Have you given most to Jesus? And we sing that song, All to Jesus, I Surrender. And in the series of All, this means everything, including everything. All to Jesus, I Surrender. Some of us, unfortunately, in the Western church, a lot of us, we don't need to kind of, it's not this kind of either we're in or we're out, because if we're in, it's going to cost us a lot socially. Physically, maybe it might cost us our lives. There's places in the world that that's the way it is. And so you're not going to be kind of flirting with the line of, am I following Jesus or not? But in the West, we have, or in America, we have this kind of setting that that's very possible. And unfortunately, there's a lot of lukewarmness in the church in America because of that. And so I would venture to say there's quite a few people in America that are kind of flirting with Jesus, and it's most to Jesus or some to Jesus I surrender, but it's not all to Jesus I surrender. And Jesus demands all of you, all of your time, treasure, talents, all of your possessions, your positions, and your pleasures. Jesus demands all. And so we're in this text here this morning in 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21 that was just read. And I printed it out on this paper this morning. I thought I was going to highlight a couple kind of key parts to make sure I get to it, because sometimes I get distracted and I don't really follow notes up here. So I got my highlighter out and I started highlighting. And all of a sudden I had most of the page highlighted. So it's hard to kind of remember what I was going to highlight for sure. But I think with God's help, we're going to do that this morning. So what are you holding back? Jesus demands your all. This is the passage in this, kind of right in the core of this, that I want to look at today. And that is just verse 15. 14. For Christ's love compels us. So that's the foundation of our salvation. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. That's the word. One died for all. And that's Christ. And therefore all died. And he died for all. That those, and this is the punchline I want to emphasize, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So that's my prayer. Because we are in Christ, because the love of Christ has compelled us into the gospel, into this good news, into this life-giving message, because of that, the love of God, we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. For the one that made possible this glorious salvation is the one that we now live for. We couldn't keep the law. You know, we just came through this Ten Commandments series, and that's the perfect law. That's God's perfect law, and we all come up short of that law. And now we're launching into this all to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that kept that law perfectly, and now we can kind of come into that perfection, into Christ's perfection, by believing in him and living for him. And he demands our everything, our all. And so because we are broken, because we need a Savior, Jesus has come and has, out of his great love, he saved us. And now he demands our all, or he wants our all. And I just want to start off the first verse in this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:11 through 21. It says, since then we know what is the fear of the Lord, and we try to persuade others. So Paul just starts off like, hey, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We are in the thing, we are in the kingdom of God, and we are trying, because we know the realities of the people that don't follow Christ, the people that are not fearing God. We know, we understand what the reality is of the people that aren't following Christ. We are trying to persuade others, is what Paul says. He's desperately pleading with these people that, come on, you guys are in the kingdom, and we want to persuade others. We want others to know this good news, because the reality is, the people that don't believe in Christ, the people that have not surrendered their all to Christ, that's our word, all, those people are bound to death. They are spiritually dead. The people that are not in Christ have eternal separation from God. They're destined to hell. And just a side note this morning, you know, like I said, I don't preach with notes up here, and so for the week leading up to when I preach, I kind of randomly preach at home or whatever just to get stuff rolling and kind of internalize it. This morning I was doing that. I was taking care of Abiel and Eshpen, our two boys, and I came across this part with, if you don't have Christ, you have death. And then Abiel, in the middle of his breakfast, he says, ooh, death. What does that mean? And so I said, well, if you don't have Christ, you're spiritually dead. Oh, he said, now I know what you mean. So I'm just praying that is the message, or that is also true of us, that we know what we mean when we say that if people don't have Christ, they are dead. And if they have Christ, Christ offers this abundant life. He offers this life, this new life in Christ. He offers this new birth. And you know, this new birth idea in John 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he says, if you aren't born again, you can't enter in the kingdom of God. You know, a baby, when it's born, we just had a son 3 months ago, and the doctor was not trying to coach the baby out of my wife. My wife was doing the work, and in a similar way, God does the work. God has done the work in our brokenness. We don't make ourselves become born again, but it's the grace of God, the love of God, that compels us to be born again in Christ. It's not the baby's doing. It's not the baby's effort that allows the baby to be born. But we're born again in Christ because of the love that came through Christ. And that love is what compels us, as it says in this scripture here this morning. And then the next phrase there is what we are is plain to God. And that is, did you know that every thought you've ever had, did you know that every action you've ever done, did you know that everything that you've ever thought you might do someday is known to God? Everything about you, everything that you've thought is in plain view of God. We cannot kind of fake it till we make it in this kingdom of God. We can't get into worthy land because worthy land is too expensive. We can't make ourselves worthy enough to get into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is only entered into by Jesus Christ. And we love to go to these theme parks. We love to go have fun. There's a ticket to get in to these theme parks. And then we can enjoy it or whatever. And in that sense, worthy land, parallel to Disneyland, is a broken down park. It's far too expensive to get in. And even if you did, the popcorn's all stale. The food's all out of date. It's not even fun. But then there's this beautiful place called Graceland. This beautiful place of Graceland where everybody's having fun. Everybody's living life abundant. And that is a picture of the gospel. Like, we can't afford to make ourselves good enough to get into the kingdom of God, because like we saw in the Ten Commandments series, we are broken. We are not able to bring ourselves to Christ on our own merit because we have sin innately planted in us. But in Christ, we have life. And it says that his love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. There's our word again. One died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And I just want to make one note on the previous passage here. In verse 13 it says, did anybody catch this? If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. So for that, I just want to say thank you very much, Paul, for putting that in there. Because if I'm out of my mind, that can be for God. Some of you are like, amen, you are out of your mind most of the time. And I get that. Especially Keith is probably thinking that about me right now, that most of the time I'm out of my mind. But hey, Paul says that can be for the glory of God. And so that's what my prayer is, that everything about me, all that I am, everything that I ever hope to be, is all for the glory of God. All of my time, all my treasures, all my talents, possessions, positions, and pleasures are all for the glory of God. So we're going to move on here. I have a really cool little video that I want to show eventually. But just for a little bit of context here of 2 Corinthians, Paul, we have two letters that have been preserved that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And there's at least two more, and many scholars think that there's at least three more. But he references two other letters that he wrote to this church at Corinth in these two letters that he's writing. And so we know that there's at least four letters, and Paul rarely has written that many letters to a church. And so this church, just to understand who he's writing to, this church is a loose church. This church is a broken church. this church has got some activity going on that is just far. If there is a food chain on how serious sins are, these guys are like on top of the food chain, if you know what I mean. There's immorality going on within the families, as some people having immoral relations with mother-in-laws, and they're taking pride in that they can be in Christ and do these six sins. There's people seeing prostitutes. Paul says they're immature in their faith. So this is a church that is kind of broken, for sure. But Paul, even in that brokenness, he greets them as brothers and sisters in Christ in this letter, and then he explains the gospel, and he kind of demands, or he communicates to them how much the price is, and that everything is laid plain. He's saying, like, God sees everything that you do, and every thought that you've ever had is seen by God, so you can't fool God. And this pride that you're taking in, that you can do these horrible things and still be in Christ, he's saying that's an issue, that needs to be reconciled. And because Christ demands our all. And so just again, the kind of punchline I want to bring home is that this verse 15 here, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one that died for them, to live for Christ. And so what are you holding back? And Jesus wants all of you. Is there most of you that's surrendered to Christ, or is all of you surrendered to Christ? He wants all of your time. I don't know what that looks like, but he wants your best energies. He wants your best hours. He wants your time. He needs you to spend time with him, connecting with him and reading his word and time in prayer. He wants your talents. He wants you to use your skills, whatever they are, for the glory of God. He wants your treasures. He asks for 10%, and he asks you to give sacrificially. 10% is like the bottom line, but then he wants you to just cut loose and give sacrificially. He wants your possessions, that's kind of same as treasures. Your positions, he wants you to surrender your positions. Some of you guys have great jobs and you're earning great money, and that's great, but Christ wants to be priority over your positions. He wants to be center of your life. He wants you to surrender your all to Jesus. And your pleasures. He wants to be glorified in your pleasures. And if you are pursuing worldly pleasures, if you're pursuing and kind of making priority out of your retirement, out of whatever pleasures you might be pursuing, vacations or whatever, that's an issue. He wants all of you. And you know, we've been on this journey the last while of this kind of progression of worship, transform, serve. And I just want to bring us back to that passage in Romans 12, thinking of giving our all to Christ. And this passage talks about living as to be living sacrifices, pleasing to God. And to be a sacrifice, you have to die. You have to completely surrender. You're like in the Old Testament, these animals were tied up and rendered helpless. And that's a picture of how Christ wants us. He wants us to become as completely rendered as helpless in our brokenness, so that we might live in him and be born again in Christ. He wants our everything. A couple things to note. And that living sacrifice picture, and that was because of his mercy. In our passage today, it says, because of his love. So it's because of his love and mercy that we are born again and that we want to surrender to him. And then we do it as a living sacrifice, and Christ himself made that perfect example of what a living sacrifice looks like. When he went to the cross and when he bore our sins on the cross, he was rendered helpless on the cross, physically completely helpless. Yet in that helplessness, he was rendered the most powerful, the most glorified of all time. And then Jesus wants all of the time. He wants this kind of sacrifice is not part of the time, it's not most of the time, but all of the time. He wants our all, like the rich young ruler. He wants are everything. And Christ knows. He knows the crux of your kind of thing that you're holding on to. He knows the thing that you're not quite sure about letting go. And that's what he's asking of you this morning. He wants you to let that go too. And then so we offer ourselves to Christ through transformation and through just renewal of our mind. Be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that passage says. And so that's how transformation happens. We spend time in Scripture, we meditate on Scripture, we pray to God, we ask God for His grace to renew our minds. And that's how this transformation happens. And that's how we give all of our time, our talents, our treasures, our possessions, and our pleasures. We surrender those to Christ. And then in that surrender, when we render these worldly pleasures as completely useless, when we render our time as useless except for the glory of God, that is when we enter into life abundant. That's when we are renewed. That's when our thinking changes, our priorities change, when we come to the end of ourselves. And many times Christ uses some tough situations in order to get our attention to then submit to Christ in this in the gospel message. So like I said before, I have this little video I want to show this morning. And some of you might be like, oh, it's Scott's preaching on. Great, we get a little video again. But I just wanted to get a chance to tell you why I do this. And part of this is just because the millennials of this time, this is one means that millennials, anybody that is born after 84, I think is considered millennial. Anybody want to say, hey, I'm born after 84? Oh, great. There's no people born after 84 in here. Thank you. Yeah, so we have some millennials, and this is my effort to reach everyone, these videos are, but especially the millennials, because millennials are spending a lot of time on YouTube and the different media sources out there. So Sam, can you run that video, and then I'll get back and make a few comments. Oh, sorry, pause that. I wanted to set this up just a little bit. I'm sorry. And that is, this is Propaganda. Some of you might know him. He is a man that was living for himself. He is a picture of what it looks like to kind of give your all to Jesus. In fact, you can see his testimony on a website called I Am Second, which is a place where a lot of celebrities that have come to Christ kind of share their testimony, like the lead guitar player for Korn is on there. It's beautiful, beautiful how the gospel kind of intersects these people that are pursuing sin and pulls them into the gospel. Now they're living for the glory of God. And Propaganda, this guy, sometimes referred to as a humble beast, he is from Los Angeles, and he is using this new form of art called spoken word, which is, you'll see what it is, but you have to kind of, you start thinking about what he said, and then you start thinking about the next thing, you just kind of lose track, but this is spoken word by Propaganda, using art to the glory of God, and God has redeemed this man. So anyway, roll it now, Sam.
It's the full story of life, crushed.
Situations get our attention to then admit to submit to Christ in the gospel, in the message, mess. So
thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans, God.
This and this is part of it because it's just millennials. The millennials this time of this is time. This one, this is that means millennials. Anybody, anybody that's born. They're 80 born after, I think, 4. Consider is consult any millennial. Say, anybody born after am born or 84. Great. There's none born out people before after 80 in here. thank you. Have some wheels, millennials. And I want to, this is this for my outreach to run the every videos on these videos, especially but millennials, especially the millennials, because millennials spending a lot of time, a lot of time on YouTube, on different, even the sort of media out there. Versus, Sam, can you run a video? I'll get and then I'll back make a few and make comments. Oh, sorry. Pause. Propaganda. Some of you know him. Might know him. Is he and a man living that was seen for? He is a picture of what it looks like. to give your life to kind of Jesus, all to Jesus. You can, in fact, see his testimony on a site called which is where the place that's a lot of celebrities come to that have kind of Christ testimony. They're like the lead player of guitar in his own records on there. Full beautiful gospel, how the kind of intellectual Texas intersect are people that sin suing and pulls them in and pull gospel into the, now they're gospel now for the glory of God, glory of God. And prop into this again, sometimes referred to as bumblebee. He is from Los Angeles, using new form, this new called form of art and word, spoken word, which is what it is. See what you have to, but you kind of thinking, you start said about what you start thinking, then you start next thinking about this kind of thing, you track, but lose track. This is by proper word and propagating, using you art, glory of, to the glory of God, and has redeemed God, man. So name this role. Anyway, Sam, call it now.
It's the life story.
Some crush situations in order to get our attention to then submit to Christ in this in the gospel message. So, like I said before, I have this little video I want to show this morning, and some of you might be like, "Oh, it's Scott's preaching on. Great, we get a little video again." But I just wanted to get a chance to tell you why I do this.
Image functions, emotions, love, actions,
this. And part of this is just because the millennials of this time, this is one means that millennials, anybody that is born after 84, I think is considered millennial. Anybody want to say, "Hey, I'm born after 84? Oh, great. There's no people born after 84 in here. Thank you. Yeah. So we have some millennials, and this is my effort to reach everyone, these videos are, but especially the millennials, because millennials are spending a lot of time on YouTube and the different media sources out there. So Sam, can you run that video, and then I'll get back and make a few comments. Sorry, pause that. I wanted to say, I wanted to set this up just a little bit, I'm sorry. And that is, this is Propaganda. Some of you might know him. He is a man that was living for himself. He is a picture of what it looks like to kind of give your all to Jesus. In fact, you can see his testimony on a website called I Am Second, which is a place where a lot of celebrities that have come to Christ kind of share their testimony, like the lead guitar player for Korn is on there. It's beautiful, beautiful how the gospel kind of intersects these people that are pursuing sin and pulls them into the gospel. Now they're living for the glory of God. And Propaganda, this guy, sometimes referred to as a humble beast, he is from Los Angeles, and he is using this new form of art called spoken word, which is, you'll see what it is, but you have to kind of, you start thinking about what he said, and then you... So that's the gospel. The only one that's able to make payment for our brokenness is Christ himself. And so because of his love, this verse again, verse 15, and he died for all, including everyone. It says that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And this is the gospel. This is the message that I have this morning. The Ten Commandments are good. It's right. It's the best way to run a society. But we all come up short. We all are not able to come to measure up those good works, or that law, that perfect law of God. We're not able to. And so our only hope is Jesus. Our only hope for life is Christ. We can try. Worthy land or worthy world is not, you can't even afford to get in. If you could, the popcorn would be stale and the rides would be broken anyway. Graceland is the only place where life is found. And it's freed again. All you have to do is believe in Christ. And so in the few minutes I have left, I want to try to share with you what some have called the one verse method. I want to try to share with you this beautiful verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Remember, his love compels us in our passage today. So God loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Remember, if you don't have Christ, you have death. If you have Christ, you have life. And He has come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. So I want to just spend a few minutes on this verse here and try to give you a picture, and maybe you've seen this before, but I want to try to give you a picture of what the gospel is. What is the gospel? And near the end, I want to give you a chance to surrender a part of you or surrender yourself to Christ. So just so you know, like we do every week, the altar is open. And if there's a part of you that you want to surrender, you want to pray with an elder or pastor, please don't hesitate this morning. So we're going to break this verse down here. If you can see, for God so loved the world, that's the first part. And then let's see here. Am I not seeing it? I see things fly across the screen, but they don't end up where they should. So sorry about that. They should be on those lines. So for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. I'll just move on to the picture here. There you have the numbers in front of the lines. That's kind of the order that I'm taking this verse, just to try to give you a picture. So we have the world over here. That's us. For God so loved the world. That's all of us, including everyone. Then God's over here. And He loved the world. And so we have love between us. We are the world. We're all the people in the world. And then we have love and God. So God is drawing us with His love. And then we go on to the second one, which is the last word. And then we have this kind of chasm that happens because of our sin. And so that phrase is so that we should not perish but have eternal life. Because we don't have eternal life without Christ. Because of this separation of sin, you see there's a chasm, there's a separation from God. And the world by default, the world over here, the last phrase there is so that we don't perish, because without Christ we perish, which leads us to hell. But if we can somehow figure out how to get from where we are, the world here, and through God's love over to the other side where we have eternal life, life in Christ, then we have that eternal life which is in heaven. And so check this out. We go to the second line in John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in history. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." The second line in that verse there, we have that He gave His only Son. God, like we saw with propaganda, God was the only one that could measure up to this perfectness. And so He sent His Son in Christ. And so then you move that down into the picture here, and then we have the Son that's spanning the gap of our sin. You know, some people have tried to kind of cross that with good works, but they all come up short. But then we have this beautiful picture that forms over this chasm of sin, and that is the cross. Because of His love, we are compelled, and through Christ, who makes a bridge over this chasm of sin, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. It doesn't mean that all of us just by default go over the bridge. We have an opportunity. It's not, the job isn't done just by stopping right there. We have the third line in this verse, and that is that whoever believes in Him should not perish. Translated, everyone that does not believe in Him will perish. Everyone that does not believe in Christ, everyone that does not believe in Him, in that it kind of takes you from where you are in the world and to Him, like being partners with God or whatever. If you're not in Christ, you have death. You're spiritually dead if you don't have Christ. And the translation or the implications of that is death, separation from God, and hopelessness, complete hopelessness. But if you do have Christ, He offers life abundant. He offers everlasting life. In the most famous, the most beautiful verse, or one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible that really acts as a summary of what's going on in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world, that's us, all of us compiled, makes the world. So God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Christ, that whoever believes in him, that's our part. That's what we have to do in this equation. If we believe in him, we will not perish, but have eternal life and life in heaven with our Savior, making much of him, bringing glory to him. And this is life in Christ. And so I just want to ask in the last minute or two, and the worship team can come up here. I just want to ask you, if you had to take a pencil and draw a circle on this graph and put your initials in there, where would you put your name? Where would you put your initials on this graph? I know for me, I would be squarely over here with God, because I have decided I will follow Jesus. My prayer, I don't do it perfectly by any means, but my prayer is that all of me would be all for you, Jesus. All of my time, my talents, my treasures, all of my positions, my possessions, and my pleasures. May I always be all for Jesus. And that's my prayer. That's my kind of irreducible unction. I want to live for Christ. And so I'm asking you, what about you? Are you holding something back from Christ? Is there something that Christ wants you to surrender to him? Is it most of you for Christ, or have you surrendered all or most? We're in this series, All to Jesus, and he's asking you, come, receive life abundant. If you have not yet believed in Christ, today is the day. Today is the day. You have no guarantees for tomorrow. And I want to ask you, plead with you, like it says in this passage. Paul says he's persuading others. Later it says he's an ambassador. And then this beautiful thing, this last verse in our passage today, this is what I'll end on. God made him who knew no sin. Sorry, for God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is this unbelievable, unbelievable message of reconciliation. Christ taking on our sins so that we might be made right. And if you haven't received, I want to invite you to come to the altar and to worship by giving yourself, by giving more of you to him. And I want to pray, and then I'll let the worship team take it from there. So Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the cross. We just ask that you would let your Holy Spirit reign in this place. And Jesus, would you take complete control in all of our areas of our lives and make us be all for you, Jesus, all of our time, treasures, and talents, possessions, positions, and pleasures. May we be leveraged for your glory. God, if anybody's holding back something, I pray that your power would motivate and move them into making fresh commitments this morning, so that they too might live life abundant in Christ Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray, with power and thanksgiving. Amen.